This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers coming up about a half an hour from now at 11:30. Hashtag Dork Minute as well at 11:45. Keefe with some updates for you there, plus Mike Vrabel speaking live right around 1 o'clock. You'll catch it here live on WEEI, but from time to time, we like to get into the film room, give us some real insight on the Patriots, because we dabble in hot takes and storylines, and as you said, Keith, soap operas.
Right.
So we want the real answers, and a good man to get that from is Taylor Kyles, CLNS. He covers the Patriots there. Taylor, welcome back to Jones and Keefe.
Thank you so much for having me again. How are we doing?
Very good.
We're doing great. As we said, we like to dabble in, Christian Gonzalez and his availability, Pop Douglas, Ramondre Stevenson. How do you handle him this week? You did your film study on the game. What jumped out to you in the Patriots' Week 3 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The thing I kind of recognized was Josh McDaniels was absolutely in his bag. That man called and designed a beautiful game plan. Looking at the film, there were a lot of bigger play opportunities I thought that the team didn't necessarily capitalize on, and that was due to, you know, some self-inflicted errors like penalties or some pass protection issues. Sometimes Drake wasn't always exactly on point, which, of course, is to be expected from a young quarterback, but I thought Josh called a really good game. I thought the defense played really well, and they were pretty sound. The tape pretty much matched what we saw live, but of course, when you turn the ball over five times, that's not going to really help anything. Drake's strip sack came on a play where he just really needed to take a sack or throw the ball away. And then not only did the running backs need to protect the ball better, but also the run blocking needs to improve so those guys have some more space and aren't getting hit, late in those plays.
You know, maybe you hit on it with the run blocking, but I'm curious your take so far three games into Travion Henderson's career, because we're all hoping for a bigger role for him on Sunday, in part because of Ramondre Stevenson's fumbles and Antonio Gibson's fumble. But 11 carries in the game was the most on the team, and he only got 28 yards on those 11 carries. I was really excited about him going into the start of the season. Why do you think he hasn't had some of those game-breaking type plays just yet?
Yeah, I think the game is something he's going to have to adjust to the speed of the NFL game, where we all know Travion Henderson is a very talented ball carrier, but there's times where, like, on screens, I feel like he's not really following his blockers. And when he gets the ball on carries, his pace and the vision aren't always really there. It kind of feels like he's hitting the turbo button as soon as he gets the handoff sometimes, rather than trying to kind of set guys up to create openings like we see Ramondre Stevenson do pretty well. So there's also the pass protection, where we know in Miami he gave up a couple sacks and then had the two holds. Last week he did allow a hit on Drake May. It was a play where I kind of understood the linebacker went to the opposite gap that he started in. But Travion did have a strong rep later in the game where he kind of diagnosed some exotic pressure and was able to stone a blitzer. So there's things to like about Travion's game, but we also have to remember, even though he was a second-round pick, these guys are rookies. The team is relying on a lot of rookies. So these guys are probably going to be inconsistent. You're just hoping that once you get into like October, November, December, there's some level of incremental growth there.
I'm curious what you've seen out of Pop Douglas beyond just the fourth down play at the end of the game where he's got to get that yard. He is playing the fourth most snaps on the team behind Booty, Hollins, and Diggs at wide receiver. It doesn't seem like the chemistry. Keefe has been highlighting this. It doesn't seem like the chemistry between Drake May and Pop Douglas. Doesn't seem like they're often on the same page. Maybe some miscommunication between the two. Maybe some issues lining up for Pop Douglas. What have you seen through three games from him?
It's really a mixed bag, to be honest, because it's not like he isn't getting open. I think especially against man coverage, he gets consistent separation. It's just the teams aren't playing a ton of man. I think a lot of that is because they're afraid of what Drake May can do with his legs, and they want to make sure they have eyes on him. But also, I've been disappointed by the fact that Pop isn't always taking advantage of the opportunities he gets. Because I can post my breakdowns on Twitter of, oh, look how often Pop's open. But at the same time, you know, yes, Drake May hit him with the ball thrown behind him during that last drive. That still hit him in the hands, and the expectation in the NFL is you got to catch that. And then, of course, on the fourth down play, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt at the time, but after looking at it and after hearing comments, like, yeah, you just need to knife through those guys and get the first down. So the awareness wasn't necessarily there. There were some positive plays, like he had a nice catch on a play action that Mike Nwenu's illegal man downfield penalty wiped out. But I am just a bit concerned about, one, the trust in Pop Douglas, because I feel like they really do want Stephon Diggs to be more of that kind of top receiver in their rotation, even though Pop was that during the summer. And also with Drake May being a guy who does kind of, when he does miss, he misses high. I wonder if the fact that Pop is 5'8", which, you know, is the bare minimum really in the NFL, I wonder if that does hurt him as well. So it's not all on DeMario Douglas, but I also think that he has not taken advantage when the ball has come his way consistently.
What do you think of the defense overall? They gave up a bunch of points in the first couple of weeks. They got off to a terrible start, and then they were pretty good there in the middle, but then ultimately that final drive, Pittsburgh was able to go down the field, get the go-ahead touchdown. I thought they were going to be better. I know they're missing their top corner to this point, but what do you put some of the issues defensively on?
I think a lot of it, honestly, is missing Christian Gonzalez, because when you look at some of the touchdowns they've allowed, the explosive receptions, that they've allowed, it's Alex Austin, or it's guys who are maybe in positions that they wouldn't have been in if Christian Gonzalez was there. So I really do think missing their top corner has been a pretty significant part of why the pass game has struggled. The pass rush, it's kind of funny, because when you look at a lot of statistics, they aren't very good in pass rushing. They're kind of like middle of the pack. But they've also faced, in back-to-back weeks, players who get the ball out of their hands exceedingly quickly, like in under 2.5 seconds. So one thing about the pass rush is when they do get their opportunities, they take advantage of them. We've seen that with Harold Landry, Milton Williams. Christian Barmore feels like he's starting to kind of feel it a little bit more. And Caleb on Chaisson also has been making plays against run and pass. So the money they put into the defensive line, I think, is showing. They've also been excellent against the run, which was a concern I had coming in. And yes, I understand the tackling numbers don't look great, but one, Robert Spillane, who had the one performance that really worried me in Miami, he was a tackling machine and looked way better in the next week, so maybe that was just a blip on the radar for him. And although the Patriots' missed tackle rate is high, they swarm to the football very well. So sometimes it's just guys flying in, and they may get shed, but there's usually somebody coming in to wrap it up, so they don't get a ton of yards other teams, even when players are missing tackles. Now, when it's Christian Ellis missing a running back in the hole, that's a different story. But honestly, for the most part, I feel like Christian Gonzalez coming back will fix a lot of the issues that we've seen with this defense.
Do you think he is back this week?
I do. I do think he's back. I think last week he practiced. Maybe they just didn't feel great about using him for a full game, which is understandable because he hasn't really played in any competitive action. But I think that this is probably the week for him, especially against Tet McMillan. I respect the player, but he doesn't really have the juice to threaten Gonzo, so I feel like that should be a relatively easy matchup for him.
Taylor Kyles, CLNS, you can check out his work there, covers the Patriots. You can get his full film breakdowns, as he said, at tkyles39 on Twitter. Sticking with Gonzalez for a moment, you do expect him to play. What do you think the push and pull has been there? Was there a setback? Has the team been wanting him out on the field? Was he pushing himself too much to get out on the field? You guys had an opportunity to speak with him last week. He didn't really give any clarity on the answers. So what do you think is going on with Gonzalez?
Yeah, I think it's a situation where hamstrings, they keep saying it, hamstrings are tricky, and that may not be the answer that a lot of people want, but it's true. I don't know whether or not for a fact the team was trying to rush him back or anything. Based on their comments, it sounds like they tried to be patient with him, and I do believe he probably could have played last week, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it was in a smaller role or something like that. But, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I try not to get too much into what exactly happened. But the fact that he is coming back, like some people wanted him on injured reserve, which would have wiped him out for 4 weeks, he's going to be back for week four. So given the fact that he didn't practice for the entire summer, I feel like this was one of the better case scenarios, that at least he's coming back before maybe a little, like a week or so later than they would have expected, but still within September, I'd say that's a positive.
How do you think the offensive line has fared through 3 weeks now, specifically Will Campbell, who seems like he's held his own? We haven't really talked a lot about him, which overall I would say is a positive sign.
Yeah, so, I mean, the offensive line hasn't been perfect. You have, obviously, the two rookies on the left side. It's not going to be perfect at all this season. But I will say, like, Nick Herbig is a very good pass rusher, one of the more underrated guys in the league. And I think the toughest matchup that Will Campbell faced, and you did see him, like, messing with his punch timing. So sometimes he kind of flashed like he was going to punch and take it back to try to throw off Herbig's timing, which is the kind of thing for a player with shorter arms you have to do in the NFL to compensate and try to gain an advantage. Didn't always work, but I liked seeing him work on it. Did give up some pressures to Herbig, especially in some obvious passing situations, especially late in the game on that last drive. But there's plenty of things every week to like about Will Campbell. Like, even there was one block where Vrabel seemed mad at him because he didn't really block anybody, but there were two other plays like it where he wound up blocking multiple defenders. So that's a positive. Jared Wilson has been very impressive in pass protection. Inconsistent as a run blocker, but I thought for the most part he held his own against Cam Hayward, who's got grown man strength. Garrett Bradbury has kind of been the opposite of what I expected. He's been inconsistent as a run blocker, which is where he's usually excelled, but he's been pretty fantastic in pass protection, and I didn't know that he could hold up at all. So I'd say that was a nice revelation so far this season, even if he wound up on the ground a couple times last week. Morgan Moses, I really liked what I've seen from him. In that first game, he handled Max Crosby better than I expected. He's had some struggles against speed, and we saw that against Jalen Phillips and T.J. Watt. But to be fair, we knew that this summer. He is 34. The guy's not perfect. It just is going to be up to Josh McDaniels and Drake May to try to mitigate that as much as they can. But he's been the best part of the run game by far, Morgan Moses. So I'd say he's been an absolute plus for them. The one guy who's disappointed me pretty significantly is Mike Nwenu. And not just for the penalty, but also he's missing a lot of run blocks, especially on downhill concepts where he really has excelled in the past. Just some of his combos aren't as effective as you'd like to see. When he's one-on-one, sometimes he falls off. And he's been pretty good in pass protection, I will say, but he's gotten walked back sometimes, albeit by some good pass rushers. So I got to say, Mike Nwenu was not living up to his contract right now, and it is a big one. Not a bad player, but definitely, you know, not someone who's playing like one of the higher paid guards in the NFL, especially in the run game. But overall for this offensive line, again, a unit with a ton of turnover. They're going to be trying to build more chemistry each week. That's how the offensive line works. But each week I do come away with some reasons for optimism, especially in pass pro. But the run game has really got to be more consistent, and I think that's just going to come with time.
Okay, so probably no changes personnel-wise on the O-line. You mentioned Gonzalez. Your expectation is he plays on Sunday against Carolina, if you had to guess. If you were going to guess about other personnel changes, and that might involve Stevenson, benched, inactive, Pop Douglas, same, maybe even some of the personnel changes we saw on defense, less Christian Ellis, more Jack Gibbons, less Alex Austin, more Charles Woods. Like, beyond Gonzalez, what sort of personnel changes or alterations would you expect this weekend?
I'd say a linebacker after you had to pull Christian Ellis so early. I would expect to see a rotation of Jack Gibbons across from Spillane on some run situations, and then maybe Marte Mapu in some of their lighter sub packages. You know, I had reasonable expectations for Christian Ellis. I thought he was going to improve in a better scheme with better coaching, but it's just the tackling has not been nearly good enough, and he has been a liability in that vein. I think the corner room, if Gonzo's back sticks to him, Carlton Davis and Marcus Jones, I don't think you want to make many alterations because their depth right now is very shoddy. I know that it was reported they looked to trade for Jarvis Brownlee from the Titans. The Jets wound up getting him, but that kind of felt like an indication that they are not very happy with their cornerback depth. And then offensively, I don't want to make any, you know, too many crazy declarations, because DeMario Douglas's big mistake really was that one play. But I do wonder if he doesn't start producing, if we do see Efton Chisholm at some point. Todd Downing spoke very highly of him a week or two ago, saying he's learning all the different positions in the offense so that, kind of like Mac Hollins, he can plug in wherever and be useful. And as someone whose skill set is a bit redundant, if he can line up in different spots, that helps his ability to be active on game days, especially if Demario Douglas isn't producing the way they want. So I don't want to put any crazy expectations on Chisholm because he is still a rookie, an undrafted rookie, hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities with Drake May. But as we get deeper into the season and we do start seeing personnel changes, I just have a feeling that at some point we're going to see him.
What about Ramondre?
Yeah, so Ramondre's tricky because Antonio Gibson fumbled too. So you can't have, and Travion Henderson is a very talented player, but at 5'10", like 203, he's just not built to be your bell cow guy. And I don't think that he, like I said earlier, really is in a spot to be that either. So I do think we see Ramondre. I think maybe there will be more Antonio Gibson. And to be fair, Gibson has made the most of his carries. He's been very explosive when he's gotten opportunities. But I don't know how many changes you can make when both of your veteran running backs fumbled and you've got a rookie who's very much coming along. So I wouldn't expect any sweeping changes outside of maybe more opportunities for Antonio Gibson. Maybe Travion Henderson starts, you know, on the opening drive and is the guy, but I just can't see them relying on Henderson in a much more significant capacity.
I don't know how much you've looked at Carolina yet, but their game last week was insane. They got outgained by over 100 yards. They still beat Atlanta 30-0 because of some, you know, defensive scores and things. But this is one where another home game for the Patriots, gotta have to have this one, or things are or could get pretty ugly with a 1-3 start with then Buffalo looming in Week 5.
Yeah, so what I've seen from the Panthers so far, this is should be a very winnable game for the Patriots. They just got to hold on to the football because this cornerback group for the Panthers is very competitive. Yes, you know, the interceptions look bad, but they were plays that showed good recognition from those guys. Also, rookie Ransom Latham, I believe, forced a fumble. So ball protection is going to be huge this week. Derrick Brown is kind of in the same vein of a Cam Hayward where he's got grown man strength. He batted a couple passes against Arizona, which has been an issue for Drake May so far. And he's just a big body. So he's going to be a challenge in the middle. And then the Panthers' offense, the only guy that really scares me is Tet McMillan. They've got some injuries and just generally, you know, not the most talented offense, kind of similar to the Patriots. But I think at wide receiver, they're really strapped for talent outside of Tet. So if you get Gonzo back in the mix, there really shouldn't be much reason that the defense doesn't have another dominant performance.
All right, last one for me. We spent a lot of time on the show yesterday talking about breakfast cereals, and we did an entire tier of like 30-something cereals. So Taylor Kyles, the best cereal is what?
Oh, I'm a Fruity Pebbles guy. I feel like that's not exciting enough, but
that's a good one.
It brings me back to my childhood. I feel like I'm back in the cafeteria, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, St. Paul's school.
Oh, that's the
Taylor and I are both very smart St. Paul's alums.
Is that something you get that at
you get whatever you want there. They had a great dining hall. Yeah, it's fantastic food.
Fruity Pebbles checked in on the Frisky tier.
Dining hall. It was crazy.
Nice. Yeah. Fruity Pebbles checked in on the Frisky tier if you were curious.
I liked
there.
It more than you did.
The key
is you have to eat it fast because it turns into like some sort of mystery kind of thing at the end.
I like that you didn't give
I'm
us
weird. I kind of did that. I kind of dig when it turns into the mush. I'm weird like that.
Interesting. Wow.
Well, we might have to dive into that a little bit more. I'm happy you didn't answer Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's what I think that's the right answer, but that's what pretty much everyone answers. So you give us a little something different.
Very good.
Which is why we like talking to Taylor Kyles. Check out his work at CLNS. Follow him on Twitter at TKyles39. Taylor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Taylor Kyles, joining us here from time to time, giving us some insight on the Pats, what happened last week, what should happen this week.
Yeah.
Against the Carolina Panthers.
St. Paul's school, by the way, smacked around Belmont Hill last weekend.
Ooh,
21-6.
Nice.
Yep.
So he called it the Hogwarts Dining Hall.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not Hogwarts, but
I was
going to
say.
That
wasn't where it was actually set.
Hogwarts. There is parts.
Okay.
Yeah, you could see. I don't know the parallel.
I don't know enough about these schools, Keith.
It wasn't all as witches and wizards at St. Paul's, but there were some.
As a product of Vermont state schools,
public
schools, rather, I don't know what goes on at some of these other schools.
You don't want to know. Yeah. It's the
Charlie,
Wild West.
Charlie Sheen style stuff.
Sure.
Okay, we'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. You can jump in there if you missed any of Taylor Kyles. Check it out on the Odyssey app. You can also hear the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, today live at 2:30 on WEEI Afternoon, so stay tuned for it. He joins them every Wednesday. We also do Would You Rathers every Wednesday. We'll get to those right after Trending with Billy Laney.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at chooseprimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now,
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
I got great Would You Rathers.
Would you rather have a pet bird that swears or a pet monkey that smokes? Would you rather get punched in the face or tossed in a pond? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Just talk to Taylor Kyles. If you missed any of that, check it out on the Odyssey app. Good film study, good insight on the team. Just use the rewind feature. It's free. It's easy. Get that on your phone. That's, again, the Odyssey app. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. We have the hashtag Dork Minute coming up 15 minutes from now every Wednesday at 11:45. Mike Vrabel scheduled to speak right around 1 o'clock. So a busy day here on Jones and Keefe. But Billy, what's our first Would You Rather?
All right. Would you rather the Red Sox make the playoffs but have Alex Bregman opt out and leave, or Red Sox miss the playoffs but re-sign Bregman to a new long-term deal?
The first thing.
Ooh.
Make the playoffs, see you, Bregman.
So very short-sighted.
Yep.
The long term, you might have multiple playoffs appearances if you re-sign him. It could also be a boat.
Could be a boat.
So I'm living in the now as well. Yeah. I think Bregman.
They cannot collapse and miss the playoffs.
That would be so much worse. And then you're like, you know what? Next year, maybe Story's back and Marcelo Meyer, and you can figure it out. Like, Bregman's very important, and I want Bregman back. But for this question, I think it'd be way too demoralizing to miss the playoffs. You might even need more sweeping changes, and then it'd be a whole mess. Also, Bregman's missed a ton of time this year. You're guaranteeing me next year he's going to be healthy as an ox? The year after that, he's going to be healthy as an ox?
He's missed a ton of time, and he's not hitting well and or really fielding well right now. He had the error the other night.
It's almost like his presence and his personality is the most important part of his whole game.
You see, there's another guy who gave him credit for making adjustments to his swing. I wonder if it's like a running joke now where everybody who turns things around has to get Bregman credit.
Yeah, it could be.
But Lo Von did it again last night. Nate Lowe was like, Bregman saw some stuff in my swing. That's how he fixed it between the crap fest in Tampa on Sunday and then last night.
Yeah, he missed, 46 games?
He's hitting 275 with an 828 OPS. Yeah. That's
good.
That's all fine.
That's good. 18 dingers.
But yeah, he's cooled off. I want him on the team. I like him a lot. I wanted him all offseason.
Missing the playoffs would be a killer.
I'll deal with figuring out how to replace him.
Right.
And make the playoffs as opposed to collapsing and missing the playoffs, and then I get Bregman for 5 more years. I don't want that.
Yeah, you got to be in.
Not in that scenario. What else, Billy?
Would you rather play the Yankees or the Blue Jays in the wild card round?
Ooh. So I didn't think this was even a possibility. Like, for the longest time, I just assumed, all right, the Blue Jays are winning the division and the Yankees are going to be the top wild card. And so if you're the second wild card, you'd face the Yankees. And that was kind of it. And then you're like, all right, well, if you're the third wild card, then you're talking about maybe the, Mariners, right? Mm-hmm. But now the last couple weeks of the season, everything's been jumbled around. Detroit might miss the playoffs. Cleveland might win that division. The Yankees are one game behind the Blue Jays. So in the last week, all of a sudden, the Yankees, who had this lead early in the year, then lost it to the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, you thought, were going to carry it the rest of the way. It might be back up in Toronto for the wild card round. With that said, I'd rather face the Yankees.
I would, too.
I think you have a better matchup with the Yankees. You've dominated them throughout the season.
I know they have an unbelievable singular player in Aaron Judge. He hasn't always had the best playoff performances.
He has not.
So I would rather, and not just the entertainment value of it, which would be higher with the Yankees.
That's self-evident. I mean, that's not even up for debate. What's the buzzier, more interesting series from our standpoint?
Yeah, that's not close.
Yeah, that's different than who they have a better chance of beating.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that.
But we're anti-Canada. Remember that Kiefer Madness where they were calling out Brian Roberts?
Oh,
we're anti-Canada, right. So there is that.
Oh, we could make it all about
USA-Canada.
They don't even know what they're talking about when it comes to baseball up there.
A bunch of dum-dums up there.
They just know hockey.
Right. There's no puck out there. They're confused. Where's the ice?
Gravy's on their French fry. Yeah. Well, they're onto something with that, actually.
You like that?
Yeah,
that's a good flavor combo for you?
Poutine?
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't in the St. Paul's cafeteria.
No, I don't think we had that. Goat. We did have Canadians though.
Poutine goat,
love it.
If they made it a cereal, maybe on the goat tier, it might be. That's true. Just closing the loop on Aaron Judge for his career. He's a 205 hitter in the postseason.
205.
He does have 16 home runs.
Jeez.
In how many?
How many games?
58 games.
Okay, so that's like a 40 something, 50 home run pace.
Yeah, he's still socking dingers.
Okay.
But no, my answer.
I'd rather face the Yankees. So now I want the Blue. So you're in a weird spot where you want to beat the Blue Jays, but you also don't want them to lose the division.
Well, and they're also not playing well, right? So I mean, the hotter team is probably New York, who just won a series against you.
They're definitely,
and you would have just won a series against Toronto. But as of right now, you're guaranteed to lose the season series. As of right now, you're 4-7 against Toronto. You're 9-4 against the Yankees. You won 3 out of 4 series against them. That's basically what you got to do. You got to win a series, 2 out of 3, against New York in the wild card round. So the answer, from a buzz standpoint, interest level standpoint, but also winning on the field,
winnability would still be them.
It's the Yankees.
Yep.
And even look, we want to be able to brag versus a whole country.
Yeah, true.
No matter what, it's going to be versus someone.
Boston versus New York. Boston versus Canada.
Either way, it's versus someone. Yeah, yeah. We're pretty good with that. Yeah. So the answer is the Yankees.
Would you rather eat cereal for every meal for a week or pizza every meal for a week?
Okay, the timeline on this is exceptionally important.
A week?
Yeah, a week.
So
if it were any longer, I think I'd change my answer, but a week, I know my answer.
Okay, so it's only a week, and so I don't eat breakfast, brag. I only eat lunch and dinner, and sometimes I kind of combine the two.
You intermittently fast? Is that what you do?
Not on purpose. I'm just not hungry in the morning, and then we have this shift, so I don't really eat till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
What happens if there's like a table full of donuts down the hall?
I scarf those down.
You don't eat those?
But I don't, I scarf them down.
Where he walks in with a couple Egg McMuffins.
That hasn't happened in a while, though, Nick. I'm cutting back on the Egg McMuffins.
Although Fitzy the other day was like,
he thought I looked thin.
Keith, you're looking trim. Keith was ready to fight him. He's like, oh, yeah, am I?
It's because he cut out the breakfast.
That must be what it is.
I don't normally eat breakfast, but sometimes the smell of the sausage Egg McMuffin is too powerful, and I sweep in there.
It's right by work.
I bring it in.
Yeah.
No, Fitzy said that. He's like, are you losing weight? I'm like, no, I think I'm at the heaviest I've ever been.
He's like, how dare you?
I think, what
are you doing in here? Don't say stuff like that. Fitzy's like, I was trying to tell you, you're looking thin.
I don't think I've been bigger, actually. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So if you add it up, it's basically like 14 times in a week. But you could do different variations, right? So like you can do like different kinds of pizza. You could do a frozen pizza. You could do like cold pizza, hot pizza, deep dish pizza. But cereal.
Yeah.
I'm going cereal.
There's a lot of varieties of cereal.
There's a million cereals. That's what I'm saying. Gotcha, so I could just rotate through the top tier. It'd be really sugary, though.
It'd
be real sugary.
I think for a week, the answer is pizza.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm positive I've done
regardless of the time frame.
Like, I'm positive in my life, probably not even all that long
ago. I might have done the cereal
Every meal for a week was pizza.
I've done ramen. I don't know about the cereal.
That wouldn't even shock me that I've done that. And I guarantee I've gotten close if I haven't done that. So for a week, the answer is pizza.
Pizza is special because it's the only thing that tastes like pizza.
That's true.
It's bread, sauce, meat, cheese. What isn't that we eat?
Well, it doesn't need the meat necessarily.
Fair. No, you don't need to put, but that's the beauty of it. You could put meat.
You certainly could.
You could load it up. You could meat lovers.
You could.
Or you could take no meat at all.
Put some veggies on there.
But like the idea of eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch every single day is pretty appetizing.
So I think either way, you're going to feel pretty loud. You're either got a gut full of milk or just a gut full of pizza.
By like Thursday, you're going to be like, this is a horrible choice.
Right. Yeah. But if this was a month, if this was a year, I could at some point, pizza's going to have a breaking point. But I think for a week, I'm making pizza happen. You're shaking your head back there, Nick.
I could eat pizza every day for my life.
I don't think it
would make any difference.
But you. Well, maybe not every day for your entire life. That seems like a lot. Like,
if there was no negative health repercussion, I would eat it every day.
Just a week, Nick.
Easy, for a week, pizza works. But anything long, I think you go past
Nick's like,
that.
Starting now, I'll do the pizza challenge.
I'll do it right now. Fine, guys, I'll do it. Fine.
See, what's good about the pizza is the variety. Like, obviously, there's a ton of cereals.
Yeah.
But as Keith had mentioned, thin crust, thick crust, pan, Detroit style, this style. I think it's pizza.
All kinds of toppings.
Stuffed crust.
All right, so me, Billy, and Nick are all aligned. You're on an island over
pepperoni
there.
Pepperoni lovers.
You're on a cereal island over there.
Yeah.
Because the pizza's too hot for him to eat fast.
I'd probably regret it with all that milk. It's a ton.
Well, it's a lot of cheese, too, with a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Milk is a bad choice.
It's a bad thing for lactose, people.
Oh!
If you're lactose intolerant.
We'd ask a cow this question.
Yeah, but like, that's so much milk. Yeah, I guess you don't have to drink the milk in this scenario. You can just eat dry cereal.
How about Taylor Kyle's confirming he's a maniac? He waits till the Fruity Pebbles get all soggy, then he eats them.
We got soft teeth.
We got to investigate that more.
It turns into like a liquid. It's just like you just drink the rest of it.
Like we got to flesh that out more next time we talk to him, is what we got to do. We have one more. Would you rather?
Yep. Would you rather spend the night alone in the Conjuring House or in the cemetery?
So the Conjuring House is in Rhode Island.
I get to pick the cemetery.
Yes. Okay. Any cemetery, but you're
any
by
cemetery.
Yourself
okay.
for a whole night.
Or I'm by myself in the Conjuring House.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory again. What's potentially happened in the Conjuring House?
Some bad stuff.
Death like?
Death. Yeah. Everything. Okay. The whole thing's haunted.
Or like little dolls running around and stuff?
No, that's
like
Annabelle.
That.
That's different.
Okay.
That's the same universe, though. Appreciate that. But no, it's different.
Okay, good.
But it's just it's a nightmare. The family was absolutely traumatized in there.
Okay.
It's scary stuff. So I actually would pick the cemetery.
Me too.
Because at least then you're not like confined to the house and like all the weird noises of the house. I know you're outside and there's like you're surrounded by death. But I would think I would rather be there. And like you just hope you catch like a decent weather night.
Well, maybe I pick like a non-haunted cemetery. Like I know the Conjuring House is haunted. Maybe I pick like a non-haunted.
I would think both cemeteries would probably be somewhat haunted.
Well, probably. Maybe you get a less haunted one than the Conjuring House.
Some happy ghosts and some other ones.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be like, I mean.
Maybe like a real sexy ghost. You don't even know.
Like a sexy ghost
sure,
to show
maybe.
Up at the cemetery?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
I've never spent a night in a cemetery.
No, neither have I.
Although, maybe another movie idea.
I've just probably been done.
Probably been done.
Guessing it's been done.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, I would choose that. Just sort of like the outside. Like, I don't think you'd be able to sleep in either one. You'd just be like waiting for the, like the morning to
I think
come.
I could catch some Z's.
You'd fall asleep
in the cemetery.
Yeah, I think I could.
I feel like with the house, you'd hear a lot more of the creaks of the wind.
You'd be on alert.
With a cemetery, you get like just outdoor noise. You
crickets.
On.
I don't even know what happened in the Conjuring House. My pick is not the Conjuring House.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah,
no,
I'm not,
same.
I'm not going in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, give me the
cemetery. I don't even want to set foot in there. Never mind sleep in
But like, where would you sleep in a cemetery? Because you'd feel very disrespectful to like lay down in front of like somebody's plot, right? You wouldn't want to be, or
what
you would.
A tree or something.
Yeah,
against.
They might want to. They might
lean
want
up against
the
tree. Right off the side of the road. Doesn't have to necessarily be a plot.
They might want somebody to chat with. You could open up one.
What are like the tombs?
Yeah,
mausoleums.
Pop open like a mausoleum, go get some.
You're going to crawl in there too? Or are you
nice
just gonna,
nice and cool? You're out of the weather in there?
Is that where the rich people go? I've always wondered about the mausoleums. What's the.
What are you sleeping on a tour bus?
I think most of my experience
like
with those.
More haunted than just the cemetery.
I think most of my experience with those is from Double Jeopardy.
Okay.
She got trapped in one of those at one point in time.
Oh,
yeah. Spoiler alert.
Is that Ashley Judd?
Yep. Yeah, it was.
Nice.
Yeah, good for that mausoleum. Okay, so we're on the same
page.
We're
both in the cemetery.
Yeah, in fact, we had a lot of the same answers outside of pizza v. cereal.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can debate as well. Phone line 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, let's get to the hashtag Dork Minute with Rich Keefe next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at chooseprimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
This is movie time.
Shang-Chi?
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy have combined. Me and Billy have combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
You and I will go see this new Marvel. People are saying it's actually nuts.
I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Nah, don't spoil it. Do not spoil it. What's going on?
Make sure you subscribe to
the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
All right, good time for a Dork Minute. Midweek here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. I got a movie review up available right now on the Odyssey app, the most recent Dork podcast. We saw the horror football movie, Him, discussed it briefly on Monday. Marlon Wayans, it was getting really bad reviews. Overall, it is not great. Sadly, it's not great. It's produced by Jordan Peele, and I would say it's a tough year for Jordan Peele because the reports were he and his production company tried to buy the script for Weapons, which was an amazing horror movie, and they didn't get it. And then so he was all hot and bothered by that.
So they lost out
on Weapons, and then he ended up producing Him, which was not very good.
Okay.
Gave it a 2.5 out of 6.
That's what you gave it.
Yeah, Davey gave it a 2.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Did we luck out with Poole not getting Weapons then?
Yeah, maybe. I think Jordan Poole, and so Wiggy's big on this. Okay. Jordan Poole's like, by the super film critic, like, nerds of the world, love him. The guy can do no wrong. Everything he does, like, oh, look at the way that was shot. Look at the third meaning behind this. They love Jordan Poole. I don't know, or Peele. Jordan Poole, I keep saying, the basketball player.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele. I don't know. Like, I haven't loved. I liked Get Out quite a bit. I did not like Us at all. And then Nope was okay. And then he's produced a bunch of movies. Those are the movies that he's, like, written and directed. So I don't know. Wiggy can't stand him.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if Wiggy done this rant on air. It's a pretty hot take.
It is a hot take. Wiggy can't stand him.
Wiggy hates Jordan Peele movies.
Yes, he does.
He's like, they're awful. They're trash. I hate them.
People are obsessed with them.
You're like, I either saw him or I'm going to go see him. And he's like, ah!
Yeah.
Like a visceral reaction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Wiggy's out.
It is. It's pretty interesting. So, I don't know what he's got coming up down the line here, but yeah, so far the movies that
he's directed. Untitled Jordan Peele Project is what it's called on IMDb.
There you go.
Okay.
So we'll stay tuned for that.
Under wraps.
I guess we get that going on. Also, football month rolls on.
So help me God if he steals our baseball uprising.
He might
be on that. That might have been updated today.
The baseball sci-fi movie.
Because
that's the other thing we were kicking around. We couldn't come up with another true sports horror movie.
You and Davey.
Yeah. We were trying to talk about that. So the closest thing we came to was The Fan. Which I wouldn't call it horror. It's more thriller. Remember the Robert De Niro, Wesley Snipes movie?
Angels in the Outfield?
No. Horror movie? They're angels, not
scary
demons.
When Christopher Lloyd comes down and tells JGL what's happening.
Flying around and making people do stuff?
It wasn't demons in the outfield. There were angels in the outfield. I was like, Teen Wolf? Maybe Teen Wolf plays some hoops?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's a werewolf movie.
Yeah,
that might be the closest thing we've seen.
Yeah, no, The Fan is more thriller than horror.
I mean, there was football in the faculty.
There was a football scene, right, in the faculty?
Yeah, the coach was one of the main, I think, one of the first.
Usher was on the team.
Usher, yep.
Usher.
Oh.
Yeah.
Usher.
Ursher. Yeah, he was faculty sneaky, one of the great casts of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Give that a look up.
I'll dig in on it.
But we did The Program, not a horror movie. We did The Program as well, so you can check that out. This weekend in the box office, Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio, One Battle After Another, currently 98% by the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. Some are saying it's the greatest movie of all time.
What?
Seems high.
What?
I've also heard that.
Yeah, for real.
The greatest movie of all time.
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently it's like a vintage Leo yelling constantly performance.
He looks like he's been through the ringer in this thing.
Well, it is One Battle After Another.
Right. And so maybe it's actually exactly what that is.
Do I have to think about watching it?
You're going to have to think about watching this one. I would agree. So the director, Paul Thomas Anderson, did such films as Boogie Nights, Magnolia, There Will Be Blood, The Master, Phantom Thread. His last one was Licorice Pizza. And now this one, One Battle After Another. People are very excited about
it. Okay.
So that's this weekend, so I'm going to have to get to the theater for that. We got a trailer for The Mandalorian and Grogu. The Star Wars TV show, The Mandalorian, which has had 3 seasons, is getting a full feature film, which comes out May 22nd, 2026.
Grogu?
Yeah, it's Baby Yoda. His real name is Grogu. He's actually not Baby Yoda.
That sounds like you got to go see your doctor about that.
He's got a Grogu?
You got to go to the Minute Clinic.
He's a little guy.
Why, Doc, what's going on? You got a little Grogu down there.
He's the same species as Yoda, but as far as we know, he's not.
Okay.
I don't know if he's related to Yoda or what the deal is.
Okay.
But The Mandalorian and Grogu, as we saw a trailer, looks pretty good. 28 Years Later is currently streaming on Netflix. Excellent. Nick did not like it. I did. So you be the judge. You break the tie out there. Not you personally. I know you'll never see it. But
it's not.
He's not going to think about watching.
Yeah, no, you're not going to think about that one. It's good, though.
I'm thinking about watching the Leo movie.
Ralph Fiennes?
Okay.
You like Ralph Fiennes?
Sure.
He's good and stuff. TV shows that are rolling right now. Alien Earth just came to an end. There was 8 episodes, and this is maybe the best part of Alien Earth. At the very end of each episode, like when they go to like the closing credits, they always hit you with a song for like the final like 10 seconds, then it cuts to credits. And this is the list of songs.
Okay.
Where do you hear
so these
this?
Are not originals like K-pop Demon Hunters. These are songs
no.
That we know.
It's okay, just songs like outro songs. I don't know what you call it. Closing credits songs or whatever. Okay. Right in my Q zone.
Okay.
Starts out with The Mob Rules by Black Sabbath.
Okay.
Then it goes to Stink Fist by Tool.
Okay.
Then it goes to Wherever I May Roam by Metallica.
Nice.
Ocean Size by Jane's Addiction.
Okay.
Cherub Rock by The Smashing Pumpkins.
Ooh, I like that one.
Keep Away by Godsmack. Song for the Dead by Queens of the Stone Age. And then last night in the finale, it was Animal by Pearl Jam. Like, whoever's job it was to come up with those songs.
They deserve a raise.
Crush it.
Or they're going places.
They're going places.
Yeah.
Also, I think I like the show more than I probably really do, just because it always ends with a good song. I'm like, yeah!
You stay right till the end. You're like, hell yeah!
Another good episode.
Next episode.
Like, this is awesome.
Nice.
But anyway, it is pretty good. Also on TV right now, you have Task, the HBO show.
How many episodes are we in on that?
3 in.
I haven't heard a lot of buzz out of you two after the third one.
Like it. No, me and Nick
third one was good.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Me and Nick like it. Nobody else is watching it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
You're not going to watch it, no, but somebody might.
I like to follow the buzz a little bit. Right. The pulse going. So good.
That's good. Right. Peacemaker's been good. This week starts the run where there's going to be the final 3 episodes of this season that James Gunn was afraid to tell anybody about because he's afraid of spoilers. And the rumor is it's supposed to help lead into the Superman sequel. So they're all very much tied together.
He's a big, a giant Big Brother fan, Keith. I learned
James
that
Gunn
week.
Is?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he was at the live show on Sunday. Hmm. Yeah, Julie Chen was interviewing him. Yeah.
I always find it odd. So his wife is one of the stars.
Very knowledgeable, very into Big Brother.
James Gunn.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I was like, boy, I really do have to think about watching that movie. Yeah.
I always find it odd, though. So his wife is in this show. And so she, but then there's a few scenes where she's like kind of canoodling with like John Cena. Uh-huh. And you're like, does he like directing that? Is he not?
Actually,
like
those weren't the episodes that he directed.
Is that
though, right?
Why he picked?
Oh, maybe not.
Oh,
he just watched.
He just wrote it.
Yeah, he's like, guys,
I was gonna say he wrote all.
Guys,
them.
I'm not. I am not gonna direct this. I'm just gonna sit there,
sit over
just
here,
drink it in
my director's chair. Call it something else if you want. There's also a show I've not watched yet. It's on Netflix with Jude Law and Jason Bateman called Black Rabbit. I don't know if I'm going to give that a go or not. Seems daunting. The episodes seem long.
You're thinking about watching.
You can't watch everything.
Okay.
So this is, I'm thinking about watching.
That's your
it.
Line. Okay.
All right. Denis Villeneuve, who one of the great directors currently, did the Dune movies. He's done a ton of great stuff.
Yes.
He's also going to be doing the new James Bond film, and they are currently casting for a fresh-faced British actor to play James Bond.
Oh.
Anybody jump to mind?
No. A fresh-faced one? I assume fresh
that's
somebody who hasn't really done
much.
They're
going to land on Aaron Taylor Johnson.
It's going to be Aaron Taylor Johnson, who is great in 28 years later. He's not fresh-faced.
No.
He is like 30 years younger than his wife. Something like that.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah. He's like, it's the reverse Bill Belichick.
The reverse Bill Parcells.
Yeah. It's the reverse Belichick. Yeah, it's not that old, but yes, we'll see what it is. Stranger Things, Season 5, Volume 1, comes out November 26th. They just put out a little bit of a teaser trailer for that. And how about this? Disney Plus is going to increase their subscription prices on October 21st. This has got to be like the 10th time they've done this.
I honestly have lost track how much all of them just, they're like, it's another dollar or two.
Is it because everybody just canceled theirs? They need to make their money back?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Although Jimmy Kimmel was back last night.
Yeah, he's
you got any takes on that?
A lot of crying.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
They had a little bit with him and Robert De Niro. And there's the whole thing.
I saw it
online.
Yeah.
But yeah, starting on October 21st, standalone plan with ads will increase by $2.
Ugh.
So if you're paying for it, why are you getting the ads? But anyway, the premium plan will increase by $3 to $18.99 a month.
They're gouging me.
They're trying to kick me out of this.
$12 just for Disney Plus? Isn't it like $16 for the bundle?
It might be.
Good question. No,
Hulu?
$19 no ads. I'm not sitting through ads.
Katie keeps being like, we can cancel Disney Plus. I'm like, I don't know. Like, me and the girls watch. I know you don't watch stuff. But like, me and the girls watch a ton of stuff on there. So I don't know. We'll have to reassess. This is not great. They're trying to price me out. And I'm the biggest Star Wars Marvel fan there is.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Sick brag, bro.
Nobody bigger. Maybe the biggest.
Could be the biggest. Yeah, yeah, $19. And it's like, it's every 3 months somebody's raising something.
Right. And then they try to like sneak it through. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's just a buck. Yeah. Oh, it's just a buck.
You're to like, be fair, Jones, you're probably paying for Disney Plus, what, like four times?
I don't know. We may have more than one.
You've lost track.
That is true.
Yeah.
It could have it bundled and by itself. I don't even know. But okay, $18.99. Nice.
Ugh, it's too much. Because they don't have like a lot of new stuff. And now that like the next Mandalorian is not even a show, it's going to be a movie instead. Like, what am I paying for this? What am I watching the most on there? Because the kids like Bluey, but Bluey's on like the Disney Junior all the time.
But it's got to be that. It's got to be like kid stuff is what you're watching the most. That's probably definitely what we're watching the most in my house. On
yeah.
There. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but there's stuff on like YouTube. There's stuff on Prime. There's stuff everywhere. Other,
yeah,
Netflix.
You're like Adam Silver. Let's just watch the highlights. Just go on YouTube and watch the highlights. You don't need the subscription.
Yeah, skip the commercial after 5 seconds, then fire up another episode of Daniel Tiger. You're fine.
So that's the hashtag Dork Minute every Wednesday at 11:45.
Oh, here you go.
Oh, yeah?
According to the text line, Rich, if you cancel Disney like we did last night, they immediately hit you with a better deal than we were paying.
Honestly.
There is some of that. That's a good point.
That's even worse, though.
It is a song and a dance.
I gotta
go
through the headache and the song and the dance just to have them raise the price on me next month. Like, not, no, I don't. That's even worse. I'll pay it.
I just buy the annual.
Yeah. You could do that. Buy in bulk. 617-779.
Oh, Swim Fan. Good one. That's sort of like a horror sports movie
on Disney.
I'm looking at the text now. Sorry.
A horror sports movie.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm sticking with Angels in the Outfield. I thought that was a good pick. Let's get back to the Red Sox. Nice win for them. Take a bit of a breather after they got some good news last night. We'll do it next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.